Okay, good morning. Now we can begin. I'd like to thank everyone coming out early this morning. After we change the clock, we keep the same time. So, big yashikoyach. Okay, so we only have a few weeks between now and Pesach. So, as Hashem, from after this year, I hope to give each year next few weeks about the Yom Tov of Pesach, already in the Shloshi Yom Kodem Achag. We have to learn the halachas of Pesach. But I figured this week I would pick sort of in between, literally. I'm going to pick the halachas of Chol HaMoed. Now, we've done a little bit of Chol HaMoed in the past, but this topic we have not touched. And from different feedback I've gotten over Shabbos and up to this morning, it seems like it's a hot topic. So that's great. We love hot topics. The title of today's shiur, we called it Boxed Out, Wearing Tefillin or Not on Chol HaMoed. Boxed Out. Now, some of the people, someone started a campaign. It's not a joke. He just left. But one of the people from our shiur started a campaign called Black Lines Matter. Each Chol HaMoed, he will send pictures of his protest that Black Lines Matter. And only one Avraham Eliezer.
For or against the wearing
tefillin? Huh? You have to ask him. But every Chol HaMoed, he posts pictures pushing everybody that Black Lines Matter. I don't think he riots. I don't think he raids any stores, but he does push his Black Lines. Every Chol HaMoed.
I assume in favor of wearing
film. Yeah, that's the idea of Black Lines Matter.
Yeah.
But in general, just as an introduction, I think one of the areas in halacha which is probably the most misunderstood are the halachas of Chol HaMoed. What is Chol HaMoed? Is it Yontif? Is it Chol? Is it something between? Right? Oh, right. I just heard of the gears of a Chol or Moed. Right? Chol HaMoed, what is it? Right, the word itself conjures up sveikos. And the most challenging thing in Yiddish, guy, is when things you don't understand, things don't seem to make sense. It's very hard to deal with things if there's a lack of clarity. So we're going to try today to delve into the clarity of Chol HaMoed. What is it exactly? Now, I think the best way to deal with this is, I'll even add one step. While there's more clarity, while there's more uncertainty in particular about the halachos of putting on tefillin in Chol HaMoed. If you look on the top left side of your page, I copied an Aruch HaShulchan, and just the opening line, Uvedin tefillin b'Chol HaMoed, regarding the halachas of tefillin on Chol HaMoed, bishas in the entire Gemara, uverif, and one of the major poskim, the Rif, Rabbeinu Alfas, v'Rambam, and the Rambam, lo huzka lehedya im chayi b'tefillin imlav. It's not just boxed out, it's blacked out. Nowhere in the Gemara, Bavli, nowhere in the Rif and his halachas, nowhere in the expansive Rambam and his halachas, do you find clearly what is the halacha about wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So we have a sandwich here. In general, Chol HaMoed is misunderstood. On top of that, this particular halacha, does one wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, cannot be found in the Gemara, and two of the major poskim, the Rif and the Rambam. Now, the rest of this piece you go through, there are Rishonim that talk about it, and we'll see that soon. Yes?
So, whatever the standard was, no one questioned it. Everybody did the same thing up until it became questioned.
See, this is the danger when people try to mix in their historic knowledge and the halacha share. I don't know. Right? Well, I'll bring to you what's quoted in the halacha svarim. I don't know historically what happened. You know, did Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what we're debating before, wear tefillin and chol moed or not? I can't say.
Wasn't around.
Huh?
There's one theory about it out there.
Yeah.
That it does seem that there was a substantial period of Jewish history during the time of the Gaonim where people, the Chlal, did not wear tefillin.
In general.
That led to all week.
Really?
They didn't wear, period.
Because, in other words,
the whole year.
They have to, I guess.
Because of Gufnaki? Yeah, for the home audience, Rabbi Flamowitz is bringing up some historical interesting tidbit that during the period of the Gaonim, there were segments of Klal Yisrael that did not wear tefillin. That sounds. Okay.
The same reason, really, if you look at the Torah, really, Me'ikar Adin, you're supposed to, okay. This notion of wearing tefillin during davening, you're supposed to wear tefillin
all day, okay.
All the time.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why we don't do that. So people, for the same reason we don't wear them all day, they just didn't wear them at all, and then there was a, for whatever reasons it fell out, then there was a push during the time of the Gaonim, I think primarily the Haibon, pushed that at least people should wear tefillin, like a right. Little bit during the day. During
but seemingly, Rabbi Flamos, you would admit, that's not directly connected to the halachas of Tefillin and Chol Moed.
Not at all. I'm just saying it could lead to a lot of confusion.
Yes.
Of Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi and where yes. There were periods of time. In other words, this is the question. What, I don't know, what did you, why did this issue come up? How did
right.
You know whether you wear Tefillin on Chol Moed or not? Well, because as a kid, I remember my father wore Tefillin on Chol Moed.
Yes.
Even during the war period, right, during the Holocaust, where there was an incredible amount of upheaval, people basically remember certain things that people wore tefillin or they didn't wear tefillin in their communities, even though there was a period of time where they didn't do any, you know, during the camps. They didn't mention. So
do you have to follow your original community?
So we're going to talk about that. Excellent, excellent points. We're going to see. Okay, so yes. So I was just bringing up being boxed out, and some of these halachas are blacked out of, you know, the halachas of Tefillin Chol Moed, they're blacked out of the Gemara, the Rambam, and the Rif. Rabbi Flamos, you want to go down the black hole. And you want to say that, oh, there's a period in time the Gaon and people didn't wear Tefillin altogether. Okay, yeah. Well, look, there are many areas of halacha that there are confusion. Let's try to limit it for the meantime. Over here. Now, I think the best way to understand first why do we do or don't wear Tefillin and Chol Moed, let's go to Shabbos and Yontif. If you look in Aruch Chaim, Simen Lamed Aleph, Sif Aleph, I'm going to start from there. It says, B'Shabbos v'Yontif, Asur L'Niach Tefillin. Normally on Shabbos and Yontif, it is prohibited for a person to put on Tefillin. Because they themselves, tefillin are an oath. It's a sign of this close relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem. The menichon behem os acher hayezilzol lo os shalom. It'll be a zilzol. It'll be an embarrassment to the oath that you already have. And the concept is. I'm not sure this is a good muscle or not. A woman, right, a woman wears, you know, an engagement ring, a wedding band. Imagine a woman wears two wedding bands.
Two guys.
Right. That itself is degrading. The point of a wedding band, of an engagement ring, is a sign, hey, I'm taken.
Off limits.
Right.
Right.
I'm married. So similarly, we have an oath. During the week, our oath is our tefillin. But on Shabbos and Yontif is our oath. If we would wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, that would be degrading to the oath of Shabbos, to the oath of Yontif. We have this connection. We're wearing a ring already. We don't put in a second ring. So that would be a reason why it would be usher. So you see from here already the concept that Shabbos and Yontif are an oath, are a means of a bond between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, Tefillin is that. Tefillin is this major, major oath. And once you're doing one oath, you don't do the other oath. Yes?
So should we get rid of our Bris Milos?
Oh, okay. Another oath there, right?
That we always have even.
Yeah, no, no. So, right, good point. Yes?
Just want to mention the severity of it, that even for the extra day of Yom Tov and Golos, we don't wear Tefillin.
Right. Right, that's a good point. The Chafetz Chaim points that out in the Mishnah Berurah. That's his first point he makes. Yontif means also Yontif Sheni. Now, so Shabbos and Yontif, we say it's usher to put on tefillin because that is an oath. Now, therefore, that leads to a question, okay, what defines an oath? What about Shabbos and Yontif make it this binding connection between us and Hashem? And the simplest answer by Shabbos and Yontif, very clear, is the Isser of Malacha. The fact that it's Isser for a person to perform Malacha on Shabbos, it's Isser also for a person to do most malachas on Yom Tov, that itself creates an oath. So Shabbos and Yom Tov have an oath. Now you take that over to Chol HaMoed, that's where there's room to haggle. And we know Jews, anytime there's room to haggle, we haggle. I should mention, I just heard a very interesting point. There's a famous, if you're ever stuck and you're in, okay, I was going to say Brooklyn, but Brooklyn means, you know, four major neighborhoods. It could be Flatbush, Borough Park, Williamsburg, or Crown Heights, all part of Brooklyn. So, okay, if you're in Borough Park and you need a minion in any time of the day or night, where do you go?
Factory.
The Minion Factory. Do you know the name of the Minion Factory in Borough Park? That was one of the old big synagogues, but not a minion. It could be after some minion factories there. I don't know. The most famous minion factory, probably in all of Brooklyn, but in particular in Borough Park, is a shul called the Shomer Shabbos Shul. It's yes, the Shomer Shabbos Shul. It's near Fort Hamilton. I think it's 13th or 53rd. The Shomer Shabbos Shul is major destination in Borough Park. I had to be in Borough Park last year at some point. I needed a minyan. I went there. It was actually my first time I went. I was surprised how small it is.
Every 15 minutes.
Yeah, clockwork. Now, why are they called the Shomer Shabbos Shul? I just randomly heard this tidbit. And I told it over to your dear son-in-law of David. Of course, I knew that. Why is it called the Shomer Shabbos Shul? Because back in the day in Brooklyn, when people went to work, right, the turn of the century, a lot of Jewish people went to work on Shabbos, unfortunately. And what they did was, they would daven Shabbos morning early with their tefillin and then go to work. They were God-fearing Jews. Obviously, we can't judge them. At the same time, they were challenged that if they didn't go to work on Shabbos, they would lose their jobs, parnasa. And it was a very tough challenge for many of these people. Okay, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of people that were moser nefesh and, you know, got fired week after week. But there is a strong segment of people that did go to work on Shabbos, but they felt bad about it. They understood this idea that Shabbos is an os, and we're missing that os. So they would put on tefillin Shabbos morning, and they would go to shul, put on tefillin. That was a quite common practice. Huh? Shabbos davening. The only difference was they wore tefillin. Huh? They take it off from musaf. Yeah, mustama. Now, right? You won't find the halachas of wearing tefillin on Shabbos anywhere. Right? I don't know who made this up. Like, you know, the halacha is you have to, he can't be mechal Shabbos. But, okay. So what happened was, you know, Baruch Hashem, there's a segment of hardliners that, no, we can't be mechal Shabbos in this. Okay, but people were coming. So one of the big shuls had a breakaway. They broke into two. And the breakaway called themselves the Shomer Shabbos Shul. And their shtick was, their first minion for davening Shabbos morning was at 9 o'clock. Everyone else is davening early Ashkama and going to work after. The Shomer Shabbos Shul was Makbed. The first minion Shabbos morning is going to be 9 o'clock. And that's why they have their name, Shomer Shabbos. Akash Baruch blessed that shul that it became such a popular, you know, shul. And now no one understands. Why do you call a shul Shomer Shabbos? Every all Jews are Shomer
so
Shabbos.
The real Shomer Shabbos is for the ones that broke away.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Now, so getting back, when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is an os, Yom Tov is an os, not doing malacha. What about Chol HaMoed? So simply put, like this. If you say Chol HaMoed, there's no Isser Malacha, so then you're right. Hey, Chol HaMoed is not also Ben Malacha necessarily the same ways as Shabbos and Yom Tov. You could drive a car. You could write. Now, granted, all these things I'm saying you're allowed to do, there are asterisks, caveats, when you could do them. But there is an understanding of some. Let's start assuming that an Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed is only an Isser Durabanan. So it's not the same Isser Malacha by Chol HaMoed like you have in Shabbos and Yom Tov. So granted, Shabbos and Yom Tov are an Os, but Chol HaMoed, which is not the same Isser Malacha. Okay, so then it should be Mutter. So then Chol HaMoed shouldn't have an Os. Excuse me. Chol HaMoed shouldn't have an Os. And for that alone, it should be a reason that one should put on tefillin. Okay? Assuming that there's no, it's not the same Isser Malacha Chol HaMoed like it is Shabbos and Yom Tov. So if Shabbos and Yom Tov, I don't put on tefillin because that's an Os. Because it's also for me to do malacha. Chol HaMoed is mutter for me to do malacha. So if you learn the whole thing is just an Isser Rabbanan, and that's what it is, okay? So you're ready, there's room to say, okay, it's different, and maybe you should be wearing tefillin. Now, if you look, Tosas talks about this in a few spots. One of them is the Moed Katan, Masechta that talks about Hilchos Chol HaMoed. He brings a Hilchos Gedolos, which when you read through the Aruch HaShulchan says he never found this, Hilchos Gedolos. Couldn't find it. But he paskins that it's also to put on tefillin Chol HaMoed. And he says a Svara, which I'll show you soon, the Mishabura says a Svara. So he says a svar, if you look two lines from the bottom, Ho v'olcho matzah v'yoshe b'sukkah ein tzarech os. Who says the os, the sign, the binding sign between us and Hashem, is the Isser Melacha, No. Maybe by Yontif, the O's, because even by Yontif, okay, to talk about it, but even by Yontif, it's not the same Issa Malacha that it is by Shabbos. We matter things for Ochel Nefesh. You're allowed to cook on Yontif. So who said the O's of Yontif is the Issa Malacha? Maybe the O's by Yontif, the sign, is the fact I sit in a sukkah. That's the os by sukkahs. What's the os by Pesach? Eating matzah. Do I have that on Chol Moed? 100%. There is no difference in eating matzah, Isser Chametz, sitting in a sukkah, taking a little of an esrog, on Chol Moed, Pesach, and sukkahs. There's no difference in those halachas versus the rest of Yontif. So that being so, if that's an O's, then okay, I have Yontif here. The same way I don't put Tefillin on in Yontif, I wouldn't put Tefillin on in Chol Moed. If you go with the Isser Melacha being the O's, then one could argue, okay, there's no real Isser Melacha on Chol Moed. So I'm lacking an O's by Chol Moed. So I should put on Tefillin. The other tzad, Tosis brings a tzad, no. Maybe the O's is eating matzah. It's sitting in the sukkah. I have an Chol Moed too. And therefore, I would not need to put on tefillin. I have an O's. I have this bond, even on Chol Moed. Now, Tosa says a svar at the end. There's a major debate if the Issur Melacha on Yontif, Chol Moed, is the Raisa of the Rabbanim. Tosa takes an argument, even if you say it's a Raisa Issur, there's still room to say that one could or should put on tefillin on Chol Moed, because even though it's a deraisa iser, but the heterim you find are more far-reaching than what you have by Yontif, and for sure in contrast to Shabbos. So the nature of the iser malach on Chol Moed is dramatically different than Shabbos and Yontif. And even if you'll say it's deraisa, there's still reason to think that it's different than Shabbos, and therefore you do not have an oath by this Issur Melacha, and therefore you would put on tefillin. So you already see Tosos was debating such a point. Does one put on tefillin on Chol Moed or not? And the crux of the Shaila is, do you view Chol Moed as an oath? And part of the big issue is the Issur Melacha on Chol Moed is dramatically different than the Issur Melacha we have on Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos, all 39 Melachas are Asur. Right? Can you cook on Shabbos? No, there's no Heter Ochel Nefesh on Shabbos. It's only by Yontif. And even what you have on Yontif, Yontif we have a Heter to cook. Do we have a Heter to go to work if I'm going to lose Parnassa on Yontif? No. But you do have that Heter when it comes to Chol Moed. If Dover Oven, if you're going to lose major money, one is allowed to go to work on Chol Moed. So you see that the level of Isurim, Shabbos is the most stringent. Yontif, there's a gap between Shabbos and Yontif. Yontif, there are Heterim. And Chol Moed, there are even more Heterim. So if the defining factor of Shabbos being an Oz is the Issur Melacha, okay. You don't have the same Issur Melacha by Yontif, for sure not by Chol Moed. So maybe that's why Chol Moed you have to put on tefillin. But Meidach Gisa, if you look at the fact, well, maybe the O's by Yontif and by Chol Moed is the mitzvahs of Yontif. Maybe that's the O's. That's the binding aspect. Okay, if that's the O's, you have that by Chol Moed also. Now let's bring this down to practical halacha. Let's read the Shulchan Aruch. This is Siman Laman Aleph, Arachayim, Siman Laman Aleph, Sif Beis. The Mechaber writes, B'chol Moed Gam Kein Asur La Niach Tefillin. On Chol Moed, it would be prohibited, Asur, to put on Tefillin. Mi'atam Hazeb Atzmo, Shemei Chol Moed Gam Heim Os. That the days of Chol Moed are also a sign, and since Chol Moed is an oath, That's the reason why it'll be usher to put on tefillin. That's the Mechaber. That's that Mechaber classic is a Sephardic psak halacha where there's a machlokas. Hagav, v'yish omrim. The Ramah writes, shechomoyin chayiv betefillin. One says it's usher, the other one says it's chayiv. The Ramah writes it's chayiv to put on tefillin. V'chein noagin b'chol golios elu lo nichem b'moed. The Ramah writes, this was the minog in all our countries, all throughout Europe, we put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So this is a black and white, no pun intended, this is a black and white machlokes Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Sephardim would go with the Mechaber. Mechaber says to not put on tefillin. Usher to put on tefillin, and the Ramah writes that you should put on tefillin. You're chayiv. You're obligated to put on. Now we'll see. Practically, we're going to say without a bracha, but you put on tefillin. Now the Aruch HaShulchan does an excellent job summarizing. He goes through all the different shitas Rishonim. I want to read in the Aruch HaShulchan from the middle of the piece. Towards the end of the line, he writes, it's a little dark on the side. He writes, Al Pia Zohar. I want to read from there. Kasvu aposkim de asr al nicham. So the Zohar writes, it's asr to put on tefillin. So besides the Sephardim,
the Zohar,
those who follow the Zohar, which are many Hasidim, right? And Sephardim already in the Mechaber, right? But they hold it's also to put on tefillin. For Rabbeinu Beis Yosef, Pasuk Shein L'Nicham. That's part and parcel why the Beis Yosef, Yosef Cairo, in Tzfas, Paskind, that it's you should not put them on. For Rabbeinu Ramah, Pasuk Sheyesh L'Nicham. Okay? Now, he writes a pretty cool lashon, the Aruch HaShulchan. V'cho Asfardim Ein Manichem, V'cho Ashkenazim Manichem. All the Sephardim do not put on tefillin, but all the Ashkenazim put on tefillin. That's a very strong statement, right? No third party here. Right? Who's just talking about the third party, right? Are you Democrat or Republican? Are you an Ashkenazi or Sephardi? Sephardim do not put on tefillin. The Chol Ashkenazim put on tefillin. Now, I'll read you a few lines, skip three lines down. He writes, nowadays, there are also, you'll find Ashkenazim who don't wear. But I don't want to talk too much about it. Huh? That was a good line. Right? That was the Chazanish type line. Ed, you're Mechavad the Chazanish. They asked, what do you do? They ask the Panovich Rav, what do you do? Yom HaTzmut, do you say Hallel with a bracha, without a bracha? He says, I do what Ben Gurion does. So, yeah.
He never said Hallel for anything.
Right. Now, I assume he thanked Hashem at some point. But okay. Anyway, so what do you have over here? You have over here, seemingly, a very clear black and white machlokas to put on tefillin or not. You know, the Chavetz Chaim brings in the bottom there, the first Mishnah Berurah, in Vav. He writes, B'Pesach, Achilas Matzah, Uvasukkah, Yeshiva Sukkah, those are an oath. And that would be the reason why the Mechaber writes not to put on. Like a oath. Since we hold the way the Chofetz Chaim writes it, that the Isser Malacha is only Midrabanan, so Mimela, there is no oath, okay, like we explained before. But it comes out from here, a very interesting point. And I discussed this yesterday with multiple people, including a renowned posig. And it comes out the following. Look, if someone's a Sephardi, okay, so then It's clear, the Mechaber says not to put on the phone. If someone comes from a clear Hasidic minog, so the Hasidim follow the Arizal, they don't put on the phone. Now I must say the Gra also
said no.
And that's why in Yerushalayim, the minhag is not to put on the phone. And a lot of people, okay, Eretz Yisrael in general, a lot of people, you know, La Baal Yitshuva passed through Yerushalayim, that's Kimitzion Teitz Yitzhara, passed through Eretz Yisrael, and they're accustomed, when they become Baal Yitshuva, look, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't put on the phone in Chol Hamoed, they don't put on the phone in Chol Hamoed. And to be honest, there are many Rabbanim that people ask them, Shilos, you know, should put in the phone, not put in the phone. And I've heard different psakim, but from what I've heard is the correct psak is if you're an Ashkenazic heritage Jew, is one should be wearing the phone on Chol Hamoed. Now, let me say further. What that would mean is, and it's just, I was talking to some guys in the basement this morning, asked me the topic of the share, this, I said, don't put on this, you know. The boy, people ask me, his father was a Baal Tshuva. So that means he doesn't really have any menhagim. So he asked what to do. I said, okay, you can go ask a Shaila. But I think they would tell you to put on tefillin. But I haven't been putting on tefillin since my bar mitzvah. It's been years. Okay, great. Now I can chop the mitzvah. Right? And I've heard poskim tell, my father doesn't put on tefillin. Okay? Look. Right. Yeah, I'm not talking to Bali Tshuva. But yeah, Lamaisa, even if one's parents, again, if there's a clear-cut family minhag, which goes back to clear sources, you know, they come from a Hasidic background. Someone else came to me, yeah, we're Ashkenazim, but we go with Sephardi minhagim, you know. We grew up in Sephardi countries. Okay, that's okay. You're in general mixed up, okay? if you go with Sephardic minhagim, call kavod. But short of a clear Mesorah of a Sephardic or Hasidic tradition, of what I've heard and seen from poskim is they'll tell people to put on tefillin, even if one didn't put on until now. Yes?
What about the idea that you should follow the rules of the community?
Very interesting idea. Now, the Chavetz Chaim discusses that, actually in the bottom, right? There's an issue of Los Hasgodudu, and it's a little tricky step. Los Hasgodudu says that it's not good in one shul to have differing minhagim. So, for example, right, if the shul's minhag is not to wear tefillin, so then inside the main sanctuary of the shul, there really shouldn't be people putting on tefillin. If you do put on tefillin, what you should do is go into the women's section, right? That's a good quiz. When does the Hasidic shul allow tefillin in the women's section? Chol Hamoed, huh?
People would come to find out.
Right, right. Hey, Al, you put that in your thing. Right? Tefillin allowed in the women's section coming up this Monday. You'll have some crazy person show up there.
This is why you need an upstairs like they have
in
RSA.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. In the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva, they're makbid that in the base medrash, you have to wear tefillin. You know, okay. People not wearing tefillin, go out. I when I grew up in Brooklyn, there was another yeshiva, Chaim Berlin. Their minhag is not to wear tefillin. And I was banished to the upstairs because I wore tefillin.
Doesn't it seem like we're too much
here? Huh?
Correct. Like
correct.
Isn't there, there's a bit of a to-do about this, but there's definitely more room in a shul that wears tefillin for a guy to sit there not wearing tefillin.
Yeah, right.
It could happen.
Right.
You may go into a place during the week. Let's say forget about Chol Hamoed.
You forgot your tefillin, right.
Sitting there with no tefillin, you'd assume that, I don't know, something's wrong with his tefillin, right? But he forgot his tefillin, or that I've done it, you have to have your tefillin checked.
Right.
Most people don't have two pairs of tefillin. What do? You go to the shul. Sometimes you're lucky, you go to the gabbai, and some shuls have extra pairs of tefillin.
Yes.
Sometimes they don't.
Yes. Paid.
and you have to wait until somebody else finishes shmones, right, and take their fill. So somebody's sitting there. I mean, one. I don't know if you would use that.
Yes.
If you had like
yes.
Seven people sitting there.
But lemaisa, what I would say, what does come out is unless there's a clear minhag that one has, you know, there's no. You know, we would say, yes, if you're in a shul where people are not wearing tefillin, then you have one of two options. Either dav, you know, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, you're forced to do this. You daven without tefillin. And then bitsinim, private, you put on tefillin. Because there's a very strong minhag you can't put on. You can't put on the women's section. Eretz Yisrael are very makbid. So, I'll, you know, close the shades of my dorm room when I was learning Eretz Yisrael. Put on tefillin there. But in our shuls today, there are many shuls, they're mixed up. They have both men and, you know, people with tefillin, without tefillin inside the shul davening. But even if you're banished to the women's section, if your minug is to wear tefillin, then one should wear tefillin. And even if a person has a minug not to wear tefillin, sometimes you have to verify how strong a minug is that. Because, and let me throw in this the step. We don't practically, Paskin, you do not make a bracha when you put on tefillin a chol moed. It's actually one of the trickier things to do. People by nature, you put on tefillin, you start making a bracha. You have to have in mind not to make, don't make a bracha. The Chavetz Chaim also offers an interesting tenai. To make sure you're yotze all the dales, he says you should have the following idea in mind. Look, if what I'm doing is the correct thing to put on tefillin, then I'm putting on tefillin. If, huh?
Is that a bracha?
Correct, right. Because mitzvahs are not ma'akev if you make a bracha or not. So if the correct mitzvah is, end of the day, there is a dispute, right? It's machlokas aposkim, rishonim, there is hak, whether one puts on tefillin or not. So the Chavetz Chaim says like this, look, you should put on tefillin. But before you put on tefillin, this is what you should say. This is what he says to Ashkenazim. Is make a tenai, make a condition. If I'm supposed to put on tefillin, so that's what I'm doing. I'm putting on tefillin now to be kind of mitzvah. If I'm not putting on tefillin, if I'm not supposed to be putting on tefillin, I'm just dressing up for my Black Lives Matter picture. Right?
So
this is just a prop.
In either event, you make no bracha.
In either event, you make no bracha. But the difference being that going with the Ramah, that there's a chiv to put on tefillin. Not just you could put on tefillin. That's why it's a very strong thing. The Hasidim and the Svardim, it's also to put on tefillin. But by the Ashkenazim, it's a chiyuv to put on tefillin. So you put on your tefillin, you don't make a bracha, you have in mind this idea that, look, if I'm supposed to be doing it, I'm putting it on as tefillin. If I'm not supposed to be doing it, I'm just playing around. And
what about removing before
the olive? Oh, so those are the other few interesting halachas. Originally, it broke.
Where people don't remove.
Right. Right, right. So the common practice is to remove before halal, even, you know, in Chazaras HaShatz, after you. Now, there are some that have a minog, especially by, I forget which day, one of the days, maybe the first day of Sukkot, where it's Pesach. Okay. That's the Gabbai. I was looking for the Gabbai. No. But there, when we lane the actual parshas of tefillin in the laning on Chol Moed, there's a minhag some people have to keep it on. But you're right, that only extends for that one laning, so you really should take it off before Hallel. So the Mishnah Berurah brings, you could take it off right away after. Right, he says still pay attention. But yeah, we're from the generation of multitasking. We could roll up our tefillin and answer Amen at the same time. Yes.
There are shuls that hold that the chazan, if he's wearing tefillin, wait after challah, so he's not.
Right. I saw someone talk specifically by sukkahs. They said you should make sure to take off.
Right, because then you have the esrog and mulav, so it's a steer to do it.
It sounds like a steer. It's tarek to the sasri. Right. But Rav Moshe, the Aruch HaShulchan, seemingly the Chavetz Chaim, would say that if you're of Ashkenazic genealogy, one should put on tefillin chol moed. Yes. Yeah. So I'm not sure the answer to that question. You're asking, the Ramal does write to even make a bracha on tefillin. So it sounds like the Ramal takes clearly the shita that you should wear tefillin. He's passing strongly in that way. The Chavetz Chaim is trying, in general, the Chavetz Chaim does this in many places. You see the same type of hak. Chavetz Chaim is always nervous about brachas. Savi brachas lahakol. And he very much, that's a shita. Okay, let's not make a bracha. It's not ma'akev, as I told Akiva before, right? You get scarred for the mitzvah, even if you don't make the bracha. So just to conclude, you know, we don't necessarily think about tefillin, you know, in these terms. That, you know, tefillin is my engagement ring, is my wedding band with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what it is. And understanding the nature of what Chol HaMoed is, which we said is a very misunderstood holiday, you know, there, end of the day, there's an Isser Melach on Chol HaMoed. Okay, well, it's Derais D'Rabbanan. Okay, it's not the same necessarily as a Shabbos, so maybe that's a reason it's not an Os. But if you look at the Matzah and the Sukkah, hey, it's the same on Chol HaMoed as the rest of Yom Tov. So, okay, maybe that is an Os. Don't need to put on. It comes out a very clear black and white Machlokas, Machaber, Ramah, with a few extra people jumping on the Machaber side, the Hasidim, perhaps Grundix. I think Chaim Berlin probably goes that way because of the Gra. They can try to go do Omen Hagia Gra. Okay? But short of that, the common, I think, idea in yeshivas, in bastions of Ashkenazic Jewry, is to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And even if someone didn't wear till now, that's not a reason not to put on, you know, not to start this Chol HaMoed. Because L'maisa, you know, as the Chavetz Chaim writes, the tzad is a chiyuv, and right. Anach Chabad, right. You know, that's the funny joke. I'll just end with this one, right? Right, you go to Chabadsker on Chol HaMoed and ask him if he put on tefillin today. That would be a way of pushing. Yes. Yes. You don't put on. If you have a bona fide Hasidic minhag not to put on, even if you come to a place where they put on, you do not have to put on, except for one exception. You can't daven for the Amun unless you do the minhag of the place. Okay, thank you very much. And Ezra Hashem, next week we'll do full-fledged Pesach.